Once again, we return to our Lord's beautiful classroom on the mountain, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. In this natural amphitheater that he himself created, Jesus sits down and teaches his disciples the law of the new covenant in what is now known as his famous Sermon on the Mount. St. Matthew records this long sermon in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of his gospel. The Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes, which is the summary of the Sermon on the Mount and the heart of the whole gospel. Jesus promises abundant blessings to those who are poor in spirit, mournful, meek, hungering and thirsting for justice, merciful, pure, peaceful, and persecuted. After the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount continues with the metaphor of salt and light. And we spent some time reflecting on the metaphor of salt. If the Christian is going to be flavor for the world, if we're going to preserve the world from the corruption of sin, if we're going to be healing and buoyancy for the world, if we're going to be that power that can melt even the frozen and soften the heart of heart, then we have to put on the mind and the heart of Jesus, for he is first and foremost the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The next part of our Lord's lesson is called the sixth antitheses. Jesus quotes six different Old Testament laws. You have heard that it was said, da 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 da. And then he shows us how to go deeper. But I say to you, da 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 da. Jesus is expecting more out of us. Our Lord says that the new law is not just about exterior actions. The new law is about interior attitudes. Actions come from attitudes. And so if we can change the attitude, our actions can also change. Last week we read the first four antitheses, and this week we read the last two. You remember the four antitheses from last week? The first one concerned murder. And of course, murder is forbidden, but Jesus says we can't even be angry with our brother or hold him in contempt. The second concerned adultery. And of course, adultery is forbidden, but Jesus says that we also commit adultery when we have lustful thoughts. The third concerned divorce. In the old covenant, the evil of divorce was reluctantly permitted, but Jesus does not allow it in the new covenant because it can lead, in most cases, to adultery and sometimes to murder. And then the fourth concerned oaths. Jesus doesn't want us to make excuses for not telling the truth. Jesus says we should tell the truth all the time. Say yes when you mean yes, and no when you mean no. So, we're now ready to reflect on the last two antitheses. Antithesis number five concerns retaliation. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The old law wanted a proportionate response. It was actually a huge improvement to what was happening. If someone would gouge out your eye, they would kill you. It wasn't a proportionate response, right? Somebody takes out your tooth and you cut off both of their hands and both of their feet. It's not a proportionate response. Somebody comes at you with a baseball bat and you come at them with a semi-automatic machine gun. Right? You take my sheep, I blow up your house. You see, it's not a proportionate response. The old law was a huge improvement. You take out my eye, I take out your eye. You take out my tooth, I only take out your tooth. A proportionate response. But Jesus says, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. And so Jesus actually invented two very popular modern expressions in today's gospel, right? Turn the other cheek and go the extra mile. It's Jesus who came up with those phrases, right? He wants us to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. He expects more of us. He says, no more retaliation. And when we're young, that's kind of our natural response, right? You pull my hair, I'll pull your hair, right? Right? He broke my toy, I'll break your toy, right? He threw a snowball at me, I'm going to throw a snowball at her, right? He called me names, I'm going to call her names, right? And as we get older, sometimes, unfortunately, we don't lose these bad ideas, right? You dented my car, I'll dent your car, right? You blew snow on my driveway, I'm going to blow snow on your driveway, right? You rip me off, I'm going to rip you off. You blew up my tower, I'm going to go over to your country and blow up something of yours. And when the kids try to offer excuses for their retaliation, because they always say, well, she pulled my hair first, she called my name first, I always ask them, you know, when they called Jesus names, did he call them names? You know, when they hit Jesus, did he hit them? When they made fun of Jesus, did he make fun of them? When they scourged him and nailed him to the cross, did he say, I'm going to get you for this one, you guys. You're going to burn for this one someday. You'll pay for this. No. Jesus offered no retaliation. And he expects nothing less from us. And offering no retaliation perfectly leads us into the sixth and the final antithesis, which is the most challenging of all, I think. Love for our enemies. It is not enough that we can't take revenge and retaliate when someone hurts us. We have to love them. It is not enough just to say, I don't wish them any harm. But do we wish them good? Or would you secretly be happy if they accidentally got run over by a hippopotamus? Jesus says you actually have to wish good things for those who do evil. That's what love is, wanting what is good for them. It is the distinctive mark of the Christian. Jesus says, pagans and tax collectors love each other and want good for their friends. But the one characteristic that should be easy to spot a Christian from a non-Christian is the love we have for those people who hate our guts. We as Christians love them and pray for them. We do good to those who hate us, not just avoid hurting them. We go out of our way to do good for them. We pray that they may receive tons of blessings and thousands of good things. This is what Jesus does. He loves his enemies and prays for his persecutors. The first words he spoke on the cross were, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It seems to me that all these six antitheses can be summarized with the very last verse of chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus sums it all up by saying, so, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. I remember so well the former translation that we used at Mass. I don't know if it corresponds to the original Greek or not, but I liked it so much better. It was, maybe some of you remember, it said, "You must be made perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect." See the difference? The gospel today is in the active voice, but the old translation was in the passive voice. To be made perfect. We have to allow ourselves to be perfected by Jesus. It's so difficult to avoid anger and lustful thoughts and retaliation. It's very difficult to tell the truth all the time and to love our enemies and pray for our persecutors. To be perfect on our own is impossible. But all things are possible with God. He can make us perfect. And so we're not discouraged. For the Lord is kind and merciful. Jesus wants us to become exactly like Him in every way. We just have to let Him do the work. Allow the Lord to make you perfect so that you can be perfect as He is perfect.